Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Mike Raley here, and we've got the place filled up this morning. Brother Rufus, how are you, sir?
We're running over with expertise.
Yeah, well,
I feel intimidated with these two.
No, I feel comforted
here.
I'm comforted. Believe me.
Well, I'm fine. I wish it rained a little bit. But I'm going to plant some bulbs today because it'll be easy digging.
Excellent. I was worried you wouldn't be able to get out of the bog today.
No, I live on the hill, remember?
No, it's a little.
I know, but you got to go down into the dip.
We went through the bog.
It's a little early to plant bulbs. What kind of bulbs are you planting?
They're lilies.
What kind of lilies?
Oh, just not daylilies, just regular lilies.
Night lilies.
Yeah, lilies.
Fall
like
lilies.
Asiatic lilies?
Yeah, a little bit early, huh?
No, not for that, but for daffodils and tulips.
Oh,
and
no,
crocus.
He knows what he's doing.
All right, I got you. Just checking.
Well, I got
that's
a bag.
Nelson Cox, by the way.
Look, I got a bag full of them, and they got to go in the ground.
I hear you. It's a good day to do it then.
It's better to go ahead and get them in ground.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, what kind of tool do you use to dig? Are you just a little spade?
Post hole.
Oh, okay.
Post hole.
That's Mark Bumgardner,
PhD?
By the way.
Post hole digger.
You
PhD?
Got it, PhD.
Well, I found this drill bit. It's about that long. It's designed specifically. It's a bulb drill, drill bit.
Yeah, but you want to put one at a time, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. So, I see what you're doing. You're digging a post hole and then just filling it with bulbs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I've told Mr. Curtis they didn't need me here. Y'all just take it
well, around. But a lily is not like a little bulb, so you need more space, room.
Yeah.
So that's why you're using that.
Yeah.
You know, there are three lemurs from Duke that were sitting out there on Friday seeing if they could get my job.
Oh, my God.
So, it's up for grabs. It's up for grabs. They want it bad.
Well, just eat your tangerine. You'll be okay.
He didn't get one.
I didn't get one. I turned it down. I had some yogurt. I may get one later.
Well, could I help you a little bit here?
Watermelon King.
Yeah, go ahead and... Boy, I'll tell you, I'm so glad Monica gave you those glasses out of the farmer's market. Those strawberry glasses.
Love it.
How about watermelon?
Strawberry watermelon.
I'm going to have to take a snappy of that.
Yep.
how many parties have you worn those?
I have a lot of comments about bring your glasses.
You need to go to Mule Days today.
Oh, wow.
Mule Days.
No, that has...
I might get whooped on that, wearing these watermelon glasses.
He got beaten up at Mule Days.
That's true.
One of my favorite plaques is Mule Day Judge.
That is an extravaganza. That is big-time stuff down there.
Yeah.
But you did get chased, didn't you?
Well, I got whacked one time. Oh, gosh.
never
judge... A Mule Day, Little Miss Mule Day contest. Dennis Rogers and I were down there. I've told this before. And we were judges the Little Miss Mule Day. And we made our choice. And as I was leaving the room, whack! Right across the side of my head, this woman said, "You sorry, SOB. You didn't choose."
I don't think you can say that.
You didn't choose my daughter. Well, Dennis Rogers headed out of there and he said, "I'll never judge another Little Miss Benson
Did
Mule
he get
Day.
Hit too?
No, he ran.
Oh.
He ran. So the moral is, don't judge Little Miss Mule Day contest or any other kind of beauty contest.
You know, Monica's daughter was Miss Mule Day.
Yeah.
Little Miss Mule Day.
Yeah.
It might have been her that I chose.
No, that was years before.
Yeah.
That was years before. You don't have to worry about that. Well, Nelson Cox is here, and Mark Bumgardner, who is the extension agent for horticulture in Hillsboro in the Orange County Extension Service. So we're going to be talking to Chrissy Anderson of the National Weather Service just after 8:30 news about all that has transpired in the last 48 hours. And before we do anything else, our prayers to the people in North Carolina and South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. Course,
up my neck of the woods around Boone?
Yeah,
I hope people saw that.
Especially Western North Carolina, who would ever have thought. But it does happen. I heard somebody say that it was worse than Hugo. Somebody around Charlotte,
Gastonia,
said that it was worse.
I can testify to that.
And I'm sure the folks in the mountains feel that. I never thought I would see a webcam of King Street and Boone, which I look at often because I love that area up there. And it was a river.
Yeah,
it was a river. Where did the water come from, Rufus?
Besides from the sky.
Yeah, I know, but that was
you have the headwaters of the New Rivers there.
Yeah,
and you've got the Watauga River over toward Fosco, and simply when it rains that hard, Boone is sort of in a little valley in the mountains.
It is,
and here it came.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a big hill. Up over King Street.
Called Howard's Knob.
I'm sure that water was running down in there and onto the campus.
Oh,
I haven't heard about the campus. They were supposed to have a football game today. But our prayers, we'll talk with Chrissy Anderson about that coming up. You already have some calls here. Lewis, my buddy in Rocky Mount. Lewis, how you doing today?
Good morning, y'all. I just wanted to call and talk about the weather that happened yesterday, particularly hitting Rocky Mount so hard.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that was after I was off duty, but I did know that there was a tornado, and I'm sure they have proven already. I'm sure the National Weather Service has been out there, and it was in pretty much the same area as one last year, wasn't it?
Well, the one last year hit around Dorchester, which is more rural.
Yeah.
But a lot of houses were taken out, homes in that one. But yesterday it hit in a busy commercial district of Rocky Mount, which is pretty unusual.
Yeah.
It hit Tiffany Boulevard, which is a thoroughfare that runs from Benvenue Road, which is right in the mall district, the Walmart district, and Tiffany cuts over to Highway 301.
Yeah.
Well, 301 is where a couple of restaurants, a car repair place, a medical center. The medical center was flattened. I mean, just like...
Oh, wow.
Just a mound of bricks. The two restaurants were destroyed. The elderly center was destroyed. But the one that hits everybody the hardest, I think, in Rocky Mount is the fact that our premier Chinese restaurant, Hing Ta, which is a fabulous restaurant and has been there for 29 years, was leveled. One side of it was completely torn down to the ground, and cars were thrown into the side of the restaurant. But here's what people don't know about Hing Ta. It was such a fine establishment run by Miss Lynn Throng. She's of Chinese descent, beautiful lady, great hostess. They had a wonderful Chinese buffet. Their menu was just gourmet. I would compare that restaurant to any place in Chinatown in New York City. It was that good. She and her daughter ran it. They had waitresses there and staff members that had been with her for decades, and now they're all without jobs.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. Yeah, that was around Benvenue area, too. So, I'm very familiar with all of that.
A&W, very close to Atlanta,
right,
that somehow, I think, escaped by a whisker.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, I mean, cars were thrown around, windows were blown out of that nearby shopping plaza. Cars were just, their windshields were like bashed in.
Right.
And it was incredible. But right. the thing is, no one was killed. We had 15 injuries, four of them serious, and they were taken to UNC Nash, and I hope they're doing okay.
Me too.
But losing Hingtaw is like, wow. I mean, just such a delicious restaurant. Mm-hmm. She made her own homemade duck sauce, her own homemade dumpling sauce, her own made hot mustard sauce that would clear your sinuses. I mean, she was an ultimate restaurateur, and they are in shock. I mean, they are in shock because this is a family business that has been there literally three decades, and it's gone. I mean, yeah. It's like totaled. So,
well, our prayers to all those people.
We got through it somehow, and yeah. we'll get on with our lives here. But it's a big loss.
I'm sure it is. Yeah, Nash County's had several tornadoes over the years, but there was also one in Sampson County too. And, mm-hmm. and our prayers go out to those people. But it was certainly a more rural area, thank goodness, and that's where most. You find most tornadoes hit, if you talk to meteorologists, I mean, just the odds of it hitting a metropolis is not very high. But, you know, there are more metropolises, there are more people, there's a bigger population, so the odds are getting in more favor of the tropical storms and the tornadoes now.
Lewis, what about the DMV headquarters?
Yeah, that's a far away piece from there, far yeah. enough away to have been untouched.
Same general area, like but same part of town, really. Yeah.
Where they took the old Hardee's headquarters mm-hmm. and made it into yeah. the DMV.
Near the old airport there, right.
But, hey, yeah, talk about Dennis Rogers taking off. He probably ran to the closest Eastern North Carolina barbecue joint, didn't he?
Yeah, and probably wrote an article about it.
Oh, he did write an article about that incident.
And I'm sure he did. I mean, that is...
He wrote an article about a couple of times where he had to skedaddle. One time he was in a barbecue eating contest, and some of the good old boys weren't having sweet tea with their barbecue. I'll put it that way. They were having lots of old... Milwaukee's best, and things got slightly out of hand, and Dennis had to run at that point too.
Yeah,
but Dennis Rogers, for all of his expertise, named Doug Saul's in Nashville as his favorite Eastern barbecue that he had tasted. So that's real high praise right there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Eating a lot of barbecue there, Lewis. Thank you, buddy.
No, okay.
I'm glad you're okay, and our prayers to your friends.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much,
yes,
Mike.
Sir.
Have a good day.
You
good
too,
weekend.
Buddy. Bye-bye.
Good Duke.
Good Duke. Yeah, we got it all today, Carolina, Duke, and State, then. All right, Richard is with us. Hey, Richard.
Good morning, y'all.
Morning, y'all.
I suspect that Phil and... the folks at the garden centers will let us into the garden centers to buy our fall vegetables and plants.
I expect so, yeah.
I bet.
Yeah, and you can buy some bulbs like Rufus and plant them today. Or most anything. Nelson's that you yeah. were speaking as we were coming in, the ground is certainly soft.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you were talking about the timing of planting bulbs is a little bit early, and I would probably agree with that. The issue is if you get them in the ground right now, you have a lot of potential of rot. Those bulbs, you know, they're firm already, but as soon as they start taking in water, you know, I think you may have
potential. Don't scare me. Don't scare me, Mark.
Well, I'm just saying.
how long does it take when would this bulb normally bloom? In the fall, late fall?
Well, the kind that I've got, a mixture of lilies would be spring. And
oh, they would be spring.
Summer.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, time's moving along. This is a time of year we start, starting in, I guess, mainly into October, we start looking at bulbs. Y'all used to get in bulbs that early, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think Logan's Garden Hut has a good selection of bulbs in. Typically, like with more like the amaryllis and paper whites,
yeah.
They come just a little bit later. But yeah, it's time to start preparing, at least preparing the soil for spring flowering bulbs, such as, you know, daffodils and crocus and tulips and I mean, there's other bulbs too, you know, snowdrops. I mean, just all kinds of spring flowering bulbs. But typically, you want to wait till usually. I mean, the rule of thumb is wait till we've had a good frost, because you want that bulb to remain dormant and go through a cold chilling period.
Richard, they're trying to scare me.
You gonna do it anyway?
You said you have like lilies, like.
Yes.
So you originally you said bulbs, and I said
they're
fine.
Lily bulbs.
But if
good
they're
hard,
lily bulbs,
yeah,
then you're fine.
Yeah,
because you want them to hydrate, root in.
Yeah.
Well, how long is he? How long? What does he have to do to the hole? Does he have to add anything or?
Well, I mean, as Mark was saying, you want to make sure, you know, going into winter and with all the rain we have, the main thing is keeping that bulb where. It's draining well so that it doesn't rot off, because it doesn't have roots to take water up. So that's just a sitting duck, if you will, sitting bulb that can just take on water and rot. So yeah.
Plant them on the side of a hill. You got some hills.
So that's the main thing is, you know, if you're a sandy, loamy soil, you know, gosh, I mean, I'm seeing the water table so full down on our eastern area, but if you're sandy loamy soil that tends to drain a little better, you're probably okay. I'm a big proponent, advocate of adding in pine fines and compost and such. But you know, if you're clay soil, I mean, definitely the pine fines. Main thing is keep the bulb to where it will drain, that it's not going to be saturated and sitting.
Well, and most of the times your bulbs are pretty deep. So if you look at, for example, daffodils, you're going to put them at about six to even 8 inches in depth. And so they're just, but if you've got a shallow, if you don't drain well, as Nelson was explaining, that those bulbs are just going to set in water. So the colder temperatures help them keep them in dormancy. And so, you know, October, November would be more of a time to really plant those kinds of bulbs. But I tell you, if you don't have your grass seed in now, I mean, it's almost too late. I've got a brand new yard. I will tell you, brand spanking new yard. My son and I sprayed it down and did a kill. We had brown patch came through, and it wiped out almost the entire neighborhood's fescue lawns. I mean, it just devastated them. So I knew that I needed to do something for our yard, and so we sprayed it and waited 2 weeks, and then we tilled it up. Got the good.
What'd you spray it with?
We use glyphosate Roundup.
Okay, yeah. So you were killing the weeds.
Killing all the, because I had a lot of violets, wild violets that were growing in the yard.
Yeah.
And I just needed a really good kill, and so we sprayed it down and killed the weeds that were there. And then now we've got grass that's probably 6-8 inches tall. We spread the grass seed and put straw down, and it was about a week later we had the soaking rains, and it just was perfect conditions and beautiful lawn. It's almost ready for its first mowing, but won't be able to get out there for a while because the grounds are just so saturated.
Yeah, and
right
you don't have to worry about the brown patch next year unless, you know, as long as you have good cultural practices and you have cooperation with the weather.
That's right.
We've had an extremely wet September.
Oh, my heavens. We've had, from the end of July, when we had a six-week drought situation, and there was no rain, and then after that, it's just been so wet.
Yeah.
August and September, good gracious, we've had so much water.
Right. Richard, we didn't want to forget you. You kind of opened us up. You.
Well, I've got a little story about propagation.
And oh, you're trying to get in on Rose Rhodes territory, huh?
Yeah, this one's for her.
Okay.
But archaeologists uncovered some date seeds from the Battle of Masuda. It was the last battle between the Jews and the Romans.
Masada?
Yeah, Masada, I think it is.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah. Rufus has too.
And they were able to germinate one of the seeds.
Ooh.
The date plant is one of those, you have to have a male plant and a female plant. Well, the Egyptians' Egyptian gardeners' favorite plant for the fall is called a mummy. And then the male plant is the daddy. So when you have the mummy and the daddy, then you get propagation.
Well,
God,
let's
Richard,
walk right into that. Well, we did get Masada in there, so
yeah.
I was like, you're setting yourself up because this is not going to.
We've had so darn much rain that the greenways are full of mud. When I was out at the art museum last week, I was telling people going downhill. I said, well, they've invented a new sport. You can go to the bottom of the hill and get free mud surfing lessons.
I guess so. Yeah, it's it has been.
Well, speaking of the rain, I've seen mud crossing roads that I'd never seen before. So I mean, we had loads of water out there. That's for sure.
Mm.
Well, you know what that's telling us is. The new fad in gardening is probably rice. Be happy with rice.
Hey, we've had it before.
Yeah.
There's a place in Oriental that, I'm trying to think the name of it, Carolina Gold is long grain rice.
Yep.
But, they're, I believe, the only commercial rice commodity in North Carolina at this point, but there was this archaeological dig in the Charleston area in the last 10-15 years, and they found a kind of a cache of this forgotten long grain rice that was allegedly lost in the late 1800s, and so they found this seed, and they, the seed bank that's in Colorado, deep down in a mountain somewhere, they employed Secret Service and said, hey, you got to get this seed to the seed bank, and then they tried to figure out who do we want to test plot secretly to grow this, and they picked this rice plantation in Oriental. And they had an incredible, successful crop.
Got about 20 seconds.
So they replaced what they sowed and replaced the seed bank. So we now have reclaimed this seed from the late 1800s.
Wow.
That was lost for all these years. And it's fabulous. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the great thing is you can grow crayfish with them. So you can have mud bugs and swamp seeds.
There you go. Richard, thank you, buddy.
All right. Y'all have a great one.
You too. Bye. All right. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. We'll talk to the folks at the National Weather Service. . 8:36, we're back on the WPTF Weekend Gardener, and of course we need to find out about the weather, because there has been so much that has been top of everybody's mind in the last few days, as this Helene kept getting worse and worse and worse, and then we found out that it was going to affect North Carolina, but little did we know how much it was going to be the state was going to be affected, especially the western part of the state, and of course a couple of communities down east. Chrissy Anderson is a meteorologist for the National Weather Service in Raleigh. Chrissy, I know how busy you people are. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning. No problem. Thanks for having me.
Well, I think the models which we talk so much about now and the tracking was almost dead on this time from start to finish with Helene, but where it ended up was just a mess, just a horrible mess. And I know y'all don't cover the mountain areas, but there were a lot of effects across North Carolina, at least central and the western part of the storm.
Yeah, so Helene, you know, the eighth storm on the list, and it's now post-tropical cyclone Helene, so no longer in that tropical, regular tropical. We just call it post-tropical cyclone because it's so far north in latitude. It's kind of centered over western Kentucky, northwestern Tennessee, and it's just kind of sitting there, making its way. It got picked up by a cold front and then kind of just it's trying to curve back south, southwest, and then curve back to the east. So we'll actually we'll see some showers and storms maybe later today in the northwest Piedmont. So again, across the mountains, they're going to have continuous storms and showers. And then again, over here in the Triangle, we'll have some isolated showers and storms Monday and Tuesday. Then finally clearing out that Helene will finally clear out over the eastern coast, over the east coast Tuesday night. And then we in central North Carolina will have dry weather for the rest of the week. But, you know, out in the west, it's going to be a very long cleanup time. But we did have a line of storms that came through here. We had two confirmed tornadoes yesterday, an EF1 with 95-mile-per-hour peak winds and southern Sampson County near Garland, and then we also had an EF3 tornado, which is 140-mile-per-hour winds in Nash County, which is that took place in Rocky Mount. So not only is tropical a lot of flooding and storm surge, we in North Carolina particularly get a lot of tornadoes as well. And then, as I said, flooding is ongoing across everywhere in the Appalachian Mountains. There is currently widespread significant river flooding across the southern Appalachians, which is record-breaking in some areas. You know, we're talking 100-year flood, and conditions will, you know, linger and hopefully improve by Sunday with the past 2 days of just significant flooding. So we're expecting, you know, power outages to continue, and I don't know if you saw, we went to do the tornado survey yesterday. We saw fleets of power company cars and trucks just heading west.
Yes,
central North Carolina. So
the rivers to the west, will they peak today, or have they already peaked?
Most likely they're peaking last night, today, today's Saturday, so peaking should be happening today, and as I said, things should kind of go down today into tomorrow, but you know, when you have that much water, it has to go somewhere. So as that water comes from the mountains, we're gonna get that some of those effects. So we have rivers in the Davidson Forsyth County area along the Yadkin River peaking today, and then Rocky River in Norwood, which is over in Stanley and Anson County. That's pretty far south, you know, from the Appalachians. And then we have all the way in the Neuse River in Johnston County in our area in Smithfield. That's also in ongoing river flooding. So it's a lot of water coming. Got to go somewhere, and usually it makes its way to the ocean somehow. So
this out in the Atlantic and Caribbean, there's still some systems that are I'm not sure how much they're going to affect us, but there are two or three systems.
Yeah, so right now we have Isaac in the northeastern Atlantic, and that is, you know, that's a fish storm. That's going east. And then Joyce is a tropical storm with 50-mile-per-hour winds, and that is, you know, expected to be a fish storm as well and dissipate by Tuesday. So that is, you know, something else. And then we have another disturbance way out off the Cabo Verde Islands, and that right now just has a 20% chance of formation in the next 2 days, and then a 60% chance in the next 7 days. So hurricane season is not over yet. For those that don't know, hurricane season goes through November 30th, so we still have it's only the end of September, so we still have October, November to go, so stay prepared, keep staying prepared, and don't give up on hurricane season yet.
Chrissy, thank you very, very much, and I hope you have an easier day today. I assume you worked yesterday.
Yes, we went out on the tornado.
Okay.
So it's a nice, good day to take a break before the next few days gets active, and then the next Wednesday through Saturday should be quiet weather.
Okay. Chrissy, thank you so much. Have a nice day.
You're welcome. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye. It's Chrissy Anderson, meteorologist for the National Weather Service, with us on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. And Roger is with us. He's an Orange County Master Gardener. Who would have thought we'd have the Colonel and you on? How about that?
Roger.
I knew it. I was so glad that you contacted me, Roger. And tell us why you're calling.
Well, first of all, I wanted to say, you know, all the members of the Orange County Master Gardeners group certainly send out our thoughts to all the people affected by the storms and with flooding. I mean, it's just,
great. You know, thank you for saying
incredible
that.
Incredible what's happened across the state. But the reason that I'm calling in today is to invite everyone to our annual Plant Fest, which will occur in Hillsboro next Saturday, October 5th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And this is, I think, either the third or fourth year we've done this, but anyway, we have a lot of plants for sale, which is the main focus, but I want to encourage people, even if you're not interested in buying plants, to come out, because we have a lot of children's activities, gardening exhibits and demonstrations. There will be some nature and plant-related art for sale, a food truck, and the biggest thing from my perspective is that there will be dozens of us wandering around so you can ask questions or just talk gardening. And as I said, it's from 9 to 2 in Hillsboro at the Monty B. Davis Environment and Agricultural Center. They're on Highway 70 West, and if you don't know where that is, it's across from the DMV office in Hillsboro.
Very good. Colonel, anything you want to add to that?
Well, it's going to be a good time. We've had this for at least 3 years. It's a wonderful experience. A lot of people come out, and like Roger said, the kids' activities, and it's a lot of fun. It really is a lot of fun.
Well, this is a great time of year to plant. What are some of the things that you're going to have?
Oh,
you're going to
have
plants?
A lot of native plants, and some of those hard to get to plants, hard to buy plants.
We have a large number of native plants, and I would encourage people, if you're looking for something specific, I think sometime within the next few days, we will have a final plant list up on our website. And I didn't mention that earlier, but if you want to find that plant list sometime this week and you're planning to come out, or if you just want more details about the event itself, go to plantfestnc.org. We have a dedicated website that will have more information about the event. And as I said, once we finalize that plant list in the next couple of days, we will have the list there. I would encourage people, if they are looking for plants, obviously the earlier you get there, the broader the selection. So even though the event will continue until 2, I mean, we're hopeful that we sell out of plants at some point. But,
that would be nice.
Find something they're looking for.
Yeah. And the funding for this goes to what?
Everything that we get from this particular event goes back into our organization for community and education, and all the programs that we operate in Orange County and the communities within Orange County, we use these funds to do that. So it doesn't go anywhere else. It's like most Master Garden organizations. I mean, we're set up, and our goal is to provide information to people and answer their questions, and the money that we get from this event will help us do that.
Also, while you're there, take a look around the building. And we've got some demonstration gardens there as well. So we've got edible vegetable garden. We've got focal gardens. We've got a slope garden. We've got container gardens. We've got native plants gardens. So take a look. Pollinator gardens. It's coming along. We recently put in a new irrigation system. So the plants have done really well this year. Take your time and look around.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I've been involved with that, and they're not quite there, but they look good even at this point. So you're right. I mean, look around and see what's there, and you may get some ideas for your own garden.
Excellent. Are you most interested in as a master gardener? I know you all have your little niches.
I have a tendency. I don't grow a lot of fruits and vegetables. I applaud people who do that on a regular basis, and I admire their dedication. But to me, I just like planting things, mostly flowering plants, trees, things that I can sit back and watch during the growing season and enjoy. And so everyone, like you said, has their own niche, but I am much more interested in plants that I can't eat. I mean, some of the things I have, as a byproduct, pawpaw trees and things like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You brought up a wonderful thing, the pawpaw tree. That is fascinating. It's something we don't know enough about as Americans, and it's in every state. They can grow in every state.
Every state. Absolutely. Wow. Did not know that.
Yeah, and they're just such an interesting plant. Johnny Coley, who is an extension agent on this show, maintains a pawpaw patch, and he gave me some last year, and I was up in Oxford, and I drove home, and it's like mango, banana. It's mostly banana, I think, but I mean, the whole car smelled like it. And a couple of days later, we cut one open and just dug into it with a spoon, and it's such a treat.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a very, very underrated fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it just has such a short, stable shelf life that
you got to want a pawpaw when you.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Because they are ready to go.
It's ready.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Roger, give us a date and times again. And
it's
location?
Next Saturday, a week from today, Saturday, October 5th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Bonnie B. Davis Environment and Agricultural Center in Hillsboro off Highway 70 West.
All right.
Well, while I'm remembering it, Mike, remember last week our friend Dan Stern announced that today there's a sale at the NC Botanical Gardens in Chapel Hill.
Yes, they are busy over there, I'm sure, and they're not far from the Dean Dome. So, we'll talk more about that. Maybe they'll call this morning. But, a lot of good plant sales. And it's fun to go to a plant sale, Master Gardener plant sale, or the Botanical Gardens. Or
I'm going to try to make it over
Arboretum.
There before they close at 1 o'clock.
Well, we'll have to get you out of here. Yeah. You can grab your cigar and go.
First things first.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite pollinator plant?
Mine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mine is Nepeta or Agastache. I love both of those.
Yeah.
They do great. I try to incorporate those into some of my smaller vegetable gardens.
Right. I love Asclepia. The Asclepia tuberosa, the beautiful orange.
Yeah. That's more specific, though, as far as a general pollinator plant. I mean, it's great for monarchs and stuff like that, but if you're trying to be purposeful with vegetable gardens and stuff, that's kind of what I think of. What are your pollinators?
Yeah.
Roger, what do you have a favorite pollinator plant?
I don't really. I have a lot of things that are planted, a wide variety of pollinator plants. And, I think it's important to do that. As you just said, some plants are specific to certain insects. So the more pollinator plants you have, the more the chances are that you will attract other pollinators. So yeah. I encourage people to plant as many different pollinator plants as they have space for.
In the vegetable garden, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's don't forget tall phlox.
You work that into every conversation.
Every time. I love my tall phlox. It just keeps giving and giving.
Yeah. Well, Roger, thank you very excuse me, thank you very much for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. I look forward to seeing everyone out there. And, if you can't come, you just want to, come by sometime, and talk to us.
Take a look at the gardens there. Excuse me. All right. Thank you very much, Roger.
Have a good rest of your day. Bye-bye.
All right. We're back. Or we will be back. Maybe I ought to take a break. See if I can,
so
see if I can find my voice.
So we can come back, right?
Yeah. Why don't we take a break, and we'll be back with more here on WPTF's Weekend Gardener. It's 8:57. We're talking about Nelson's golf game. You know, all of the problems that we have going on, hopefully you don't have any problems with your car, because that's really a mess to deal with, because we depend so much on transportation. Well, find a good place to get your car checked and let them maintain it. Put money up front. Don't wait for something to happen. Preventative care. King's Auto Service in Raleigh. Spring checkup, fall checkup, winter checkup. You know, just make sure that you get everything done to your car that needs to be done as best you can. And, you know, they'll check all kinds of stuff, like the brakes and tires. You want to make sure they're in good shape, for goodness sake. Even your wiper blades. And, you know, you'll still need your AC, and make sure the heater core, all the stuff, radiator system, all the hoses and belts are in good shape. And if you have one of those hybrid vehicles, well, they are specialists. They have hybrid technicians that are certified there to bring you the best care and diagnose any problem with those very expensive high-voltage battery packs that can last 150,000 miles or more. That's kind of the average when they start losing their punch. And if you need to replace one of those big battery systems, King's Auto Service can probably find one for you for less than the dealer can. But any of the Japanese, American vehicles, they can work on and do a great job. At King's Auto Service, 1039 Northwest Street in downtown Raleigh, and at kingautomotive.net. And King's Automotive Service is most reliable in Raleigh. Raleigh's most reliable since 1946. All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up in the next hour here on WPTF.